Can you hear me? Or I got it upside down. I turned it around and clipped it this way. As long as y'all can hear me. I appreciate that message.
Yes.
That's a good thought. Leave it to Brother Matt. He can bring something out like that. I'm not quite that talented as him. I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 6. But before I go there, I'm going to read something from Colossians where I was at this morning. It goes right along with what Brother Matt was preaching about. I'll just read this Colossians 3 while y'all turn to Matthew 6. Verse 1, Colossians 3 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them." Now I read that to say, what he's talking about there, what Brother Matt was preaching about, only taking care of the Haman and not taking care of the problem, the root of the problem there. That root, those things you experience before you get saved, according to this, according to Paul right here, he's talking to believers.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you got to mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth.
Right.
Just because you get born again don't mean you ain't going to fight them old habits.
That's right.
Them old things that you once dealt with.
Right.
And they're going to try to rise up. The devil's going to see to it that they try to enter back into your life.
Yes, sir.
So, I don't mean to add to his sermon, but I thought about that.
Yes.
And it's our obligation, our requirement to mortify, put these things to death. That's what Paul's saying. We say, well, I've been born again. I'm dead with Christ, raised anew. Yep, you are. If you're born again, you are.
Right.
But those things will try to flare back up.
Yep.
The devil will see to it that they'll try to come back. But that's not my message, but I had to put my 2 cents in. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to pick up where Brother Wells was dealing with prayer there.
Amen.
I'll just read that context of the prayer and starting in verse 5. Jesus said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye." And he goes into the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
And we're all familiar with that. And I probably read more than I should. I'm going to pull my thought out of verse 6 right there where he says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." And I want to deal with the prayer closet.
Amen.
Prayer closet. I want to give some thoughts that the Lord's given me on that.
Amen.
And I won't be long since Brother Matt took all the time. I'm gonna cut it down short. I'm just kidding. Y'all pray for me as I pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful to be in your house. Thankful for the good word of God that we've already heard tonight. Lord, I do pray that you'd please help me now try to deliver the thoughts that you've given me. I pray that you'd please take the word and use it for your glory and honor, and that you would get glory and honor out of it, Lord. Help me now. I need you something fierce now, Lord. I can't do this without you. I pray that you'd please meet with us now, and we'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. So it's pretty obvious in the context of this. It's not a, as Brother Wells already brought out during the meeting, it's not a suggestion that you pray.
Right.
It's not if. It's not Well, if you feel like it, right, or if you get time, it's expected.
Right.
And that's what he first brought out. It's expected of us.
Yep.
If we're, it, matter of fact, just like he brought out, it's one of the key marks of a believer. There's communication there.
Right.
Between the believer and the Heavenly Father.
Amen.
There is a union there. There is communion, fellowship, through prayer.
Yes.
And some prayer is public, some prayer is private. And this is dealing with private prayer in context. He's talking about enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Prior to this, he's dealing with almsgiving.
Right.
In this context, you got almsgiving, and that's expected of us. Prayers, and that's expected of us.
Right.
And then you got fasting, and that's
right,
expected of
Amen.
Us. Which very few people do that practice anymore. And I want to look at that closet prayer. That in verse 6 right there. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, the word closet means a small room or apartment for retirement. That's what Uncle Ricky's fixing. Go in the closet, ain't he? Retirement. A small room or apartment for retirement. Any room for privacy. And then it Webster's references Matthew chapter 6. When thou prayest, enter in thy closet. He gives that reference. So, that's the main idea when you think about a closet. Just like Brother Wells talking about moving them boxes out of the way and finding him a little spot to get in there and pray.
Right.
And seek the Lord's face and commune with His Heavenly Father. So often, I'll speak for myself, I have perceived that if you don't enter into a literal closet and shut a door, that you're not really in the closet, in a prayer closet. But that's not true.
Right.
I think you can see that in the Scripture.
Right.
Now, I'll give you some references where it appears pretty obvious that Christ entered into a closet. In Matthew 14:23, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray.
Right.
There's a closet.
Yep.
And when the evening was come, he was there alone. The idea is privacy. The idea is getting alone with God.
Amen.
And I feel like I'm repeating a lot of what Brother Wells said, but
right.
Yeah, we need it.
Yeah.
Well, every one of us need it. Mark 6:46, and when he had sent them away, talking about the multitude, he departed into a mountain to pray.
Right.
There it is again. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God.
Amen.
That's all references of Jesus departing and praying.
Right.
And I'm sure there's more. That's just a few. That he separated himself and prayed to God.
Right.
He was alone. Now, I got a reference of Abraham's servant back in Genesis 24. If you want to turn back there, we'll do some turning tonight. Brother Matt made you flip around. I'll make you flip around. Genesis 24. Brother Shepherd preached a while ago on this. I don't remember exactly when, but he preached, I being in the way the Lord led me. Preached out of that verse right there. This is Abraham's servant. He's going down there. Abraham sent him down there to get Isaac a bride. You know, he's going down there to get Rebekah. And this is his prayer in Genesis 24. Starting in verse 12, and he said, the servant praying, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And I won't read any more of that, but you know that she did exactly what he prayed for.
Right.
And then he worships the Lord and thanks the Lord. He said, I being in the way, the Lord led me.
Right.
And led me right to his master or his servant, his Lord's kinfolk.
Right.
I'm messing the wording up, but y'all know the story. He prayed specifically, and the Lord answered specifically to his prayer. But what I want to draw out here is that he entered into a closet and prayed right there.
Yep.
And he was out by a well of water.
Yep.
But he still entered into that closet.
Right.
He didn't go in a literal room, close the door. He still was able to get into, we would say, the throne room of grace.
Right.
Come
Amen.
Boldly before the throne of grace, as Hebrews puts it. We have that access.
Right.
And we're supposed to go in boldly. That's not pridefully, that's confidently.
Right.
We go in. We have that privilege, that right, because we're Son of God. But the emphasis is he was in that closet, prayer closet, out there by a well of water in the middle of nowhere. When Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, he was in the closet.
Right.
He was in that prayer closet. And then Jacob in Genesis 32, when he wrestled with that angel, he was in a prayer closet.
Yep.
And y'all know these are very familiar stories. He sent all his family ahead of him because he's going back to meet Esau. And he's fearful. He's fearful because the last words he got was Esau's going to kill him.
Right.
And he's been down there working for Laban all those years to get a wife plus some. And all that he's gotten. The Lord blessed him down there and blessed Laban because of Jacob and all that. But he's coming back and he knows he's going to meet Esau the next day. And he meets with God that night.
Right.
And he enters in to his prayer closet.
Right.
And he's out in the middle of nowhere. He's not at his, we would say, his home, his normal abode. He's journeying. But he's still met with the Lord in a prayer closet.
Amen.
So if he done it out there, then Abraham's servant done it.
Yep.
By a well of water. Jacob done it in Penuel is what he called the place, Penuel. If they done it, we can do that as well.
Right. Amen.
And then you got Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel. You can turn over 1 Samuel chapter 1. If I can get there. It marked none of these. 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'll pick up in verse 10. Well, back up to verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. I hear y'all still flipping. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but wilt give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. So I'll stop reading there. Now she's in the house of the Lord, we would say. Right. And she's praying. And she's praying publicly.
Right.
But she's still in that closet.
Amen.
She's still entered into that closet and shut the door. And she's praying to her Father, which is in secret.
Yep.
And her Father, which is in secret, rewards her openly.
Amen.
Now Eli thought she had been drunken because she was praying in her heart.
Right.
I think, to me, that is the more emphasis of the closet.
Right.
It's a secret place. That's what a closet is, a secret place. Yep. So you can enter into the closet and shut the door when you're in amongst a multitude of people. You don't have to literally go get in a closet and close the door. But I used to think that. I used to think that's what you had to do in order to get alone with God and pray. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand
sure,
me.
Sure.
If you feel led of the Lord to do that, you need to do that.
Sure.
And it's good to have a place.
Right.
It's more important to have a time and a daily time to do that. But don't let the devil get in your mind and get you to thinking, well, you've not got in a closet and shut a door, so therefore you've not really been praying.
Mm-hmm.
Because the devil will make you try to believe all kinds of nonsense
right.
to make you feel terrible.
Yes.
I think of Mom. Mom never got in her closet, but she prayed by her bed every morning.
Amen.
I remember that. Yeah, I told you I was going to use you for illustrations when I was preaching. No, I remember that though, but that was her closet.
Right.
Praying beside her bed.
Yep.
That was her closet. She didn't actually get in the closet. She's praying by her bed. That you don't have to literally get in a closet. Hannah was entered into that closet and shut that door in the privacy and the secrecy of her heart, communing with her Heavenly Father. Her lips never moved. She was just pouring her heart out to God in prayer. Right there in the house of God.
Amen.
We can do that as well. I think about Daniel's prayer. He went to Daniel 6 a while ago. After they had signed that writing, Daniel went back to his place just like he had always did and knelt and prayed three times a day like he had always did. He entered into his closet regardless of what that prayer or that decree went out. Regardless of that decree,
right.
he said, I'm still going to do what I've always done because that's the right thing to do.
Amen.
He's not going to let their decree overrule the supremacy of his Savior over him.
Right.
He held God's law above their law. He held his Savior above whatever they could write,
right.
whatever they could decree. And then there's the examples of Jesus entering into the closet with his disciples. Luke 9:28, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray.
Yep.
He entered into that closet, but he brought Peter, John, and James up there with
Amen.
Him. Of course, we know that's Mount Transfiguration when he went up there and he began to pray and his countenance changed and his raiment changed and everything. And then Peter stuck his foot in his mouth and all that stuff. But nevertheless, you can enter into communion with your Heavenly Father with fellow believers.
Right.
Like this Saturday, this upcoming Saturday is men's prayer meeting. We all meet in here and pray. After we get done talking for a while back there. We do like to talk. But it's good fellowship and it's much needed. But anyways, we get out here and we pray. And we can all the men that's here, whoever shows up, can enter into that closet
right.
and pray.
Amen.
Even when we're in here together. On Wednesday nights, when we have everybody come up
right.
that wants to, come up around the altar and pray. We can all enter into that closet right then and there.
Yes.
Don't ever get it in your head. You can't.
Right.
I don't know why I'm stressing that, but that's what's on my heart, and that's what the Lord give me, because I know the devil has bothered me with that before, so that's why I guess it's important to me or whatever. He's made me to feel like if I don't have this religious ritual that I do every single day at a certain place, then I'm not praying to God. And I dealt with that for a while, and I got the victory over it. Because I pray while I'm driving.
Yep.
I pray at home in the garage. I pray here at church. It don't matter. It don't matter as long as you have a closet. You enter into that closet
from
your heart. Your that privacy. You get in that private time, private communion and fellowship with the Lord. There's more scriptures of them praying together. Luke 11:1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, didn't say a mountain that time, probably was a mountain, but it says a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So he's right there amongst them in his prayer closet. Our Savior entered into his prayer closet with his disciples and communed with our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Paul said that we should pray without ceasing.
Yep.
We can live in a spirit of prayer. You can have a prayerful spirit about you. I watched Brother Wells during the meeting, and he was praying some, sitting back there in the pew.
Sir.
I could see him.
Yep.
I was monitoring him, watching him. But we can all do that.
Right.
It's not just for preachers.
Right. Amen.
It's not just for Sunday school teachers.
Right.
It's just, and oh, don't get it in your head that them are super spiritual people. The devil wants you to be that way. The devil wants you to get that in you and think, well, they think they're better than everyone. The devil plants all that stuff in your mind. Don't let him get in your mind with that.
Amen.
Get in your closet and pray.
Amen.
How are you going to deal with that root problem that Brother Matt was preaching about? Yes, studying the Word of God. I'm not belittling anything he said. He's right on that. Study and get in the Word of God. Get in your prayer closet.
Amen.
Get in the Word of God and then get in your prayer closet.
Yep.
It's the only way you're going to be able to make it. And put it into application in your life. What you read and study, take it to the Lord. Lord, help me to put this into practice in my life. While you're in your prayer closet.
Amen.
I know that was about short and sweet, but get in your prayer closet.
Amen.
Pray. Don't just, well, I can't get to the, you know, I don't have a full 30 minutes or an hour. You know, the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, what can you not watch with me 1 hour?
Right.
The devil will take verses like that. Maybe he don't with you, but he has... He eats me up in my mind all the time. And he can take that verse and be like, well, if you don't pray for an hour, then you're not really praying.
Right.
Because the Lord said, what, can you not watch with me 1 hour? It's not the length of time.
Right.
It's the depth that you get in tune with God. It's not the amount of words you say. It's the communion with Christ that you get in fellowship with Him.
Yep.
What Brother Wells was preaching about, getting to know Him. How well do you know God? You ain't going to know Him unless you get to fellowship Him with Him. And you do that in the prayer closet.
Yes.
I believe that's all I got to say for tonight. We all need to pray.
Yes, we do.
We need it more and more. We need to Man, so much the more as you see the day approaching. I know that dealing with assembling ourselves together, but we need to assemble with the Lord in a prayer closet. So much the more as we see the day approaching. We need to assemble together in prayer. Yoke up together in prayer. Unite in prayer. Just like we united a while ago and prayed for our missionaries down there in Mexico. It's imperative. Prayer is first of all.
Yep.
Brother Wells said it.
Amen.
First of all. That's what we need to do. First of all. Thank you, preacher.